and happy Sabbath. Raise a hand, how many of you have ever stuck up for a friend or family member? How many of you have ever wanted to slap somebody so bad because they wouldn't listen to you? Okay, those who raise their hands on either one of these questions, you'll be able to relate to my story today. For those of you that know me, you might say my personality is cheerful and friendly, maybe even a bit shy when I'm around people I don't really know. But at school, I'm sometimes a whole different person. Let me tell you one of the problems I had recently at my school. It was about 8:20 as my friends and I waited for the bell to ring to go to first period. I noticed this one very mean and annoying kid bullying one of my friends. We could hear what he was saying, and it wasn't very nice. Now, if you ask any of my friends, I'm like a mama bear, and I protect my friends, and I don't let anyone mess with them. So this was a time where mama bear needed to protect her cubs. I walked over to where the bully was, and I asked him in a polite way, what was he doing around my friends? And he rudely replied, it has nothing to do with you. By this time, I was trying to keep calm, but I could feel the anger rising within me. I told him to go away and don't go near my friends again. He refused. And by this time, he was getting on my nerves. So my two best friends and I told him off. And at school, I'm very loud, so there was already a small crowd forming around us. We were sick of his stupid remarks to all of our suggestions to end things peacefully between my really short friend and a really tall bully. But he was being very arrogant and wasn't taking anything we were saying seriously. By this time, I was about to explode from all the anger inside. I snapped. I turned into a person I'm not proud of, and at this moment, so many thoughts were rushing through my mind. The main one was, I'm going to punch him. I'm going to punch him right in his face. Please, God, help me. And God answered my prayer super quick, because right then and there, the bell rang to go to class. The next few minutes were a blur. All I remember was the bully was laughing, and it took three of my friends to hold me back. One was holding back my arms, and the other two were trying to calm me down. I remember one was hugging me so tight I could barely move. And by the way they were trying to calm me down, I guess I tried to swing at the bully. It took me four periods to try to semi-calm down and focus on my schoolwork. But who could give their full attention on work when they went through what I did this morning? The bell rang to go to lunch, and I ran as fast as I could to see how my friend was doing. I can tell he was still scared, but he said he was doing better. All of my friends that were around tried to make this lunch hour feel as normal as possible to get our minds off the mean bully. It was sort of work. By no time, we were all laughing and joking around. Part of me felt like I accomplished something because the bully kept his distance for the rest of the day. Some of you are probably wondering why I chose this situation to express my encounter with God. One reason was this is the most recent time where God helped me at school. The second reason was I really felt God's presence inside me trying to get rid of all the sinful thoughts in my mind. Everyday issues like these happen at my school, whether it's little stuff like two friends arguing about dumb stuff or big things like one eighth grader that I've known since kindergarten getting arrested at school for selling and trafficking drugs. I see sin all around my school, and the more I pray it would stop, the more it happens. Like one example was the first fight I saw when I was in sixth grade. After that first fight, I pray I wouldn't have to see any more sin in the form of people physically hurting one another. But it seemed right after that, more and more people started fighting. At our school, all the bullying and fighting has gotten so bad these past 2 years that the principal and two vice principals have to stay out in the field during lunch to watch us. At one point, I just wanted to run away from it all and change schools. But I talked with my family and realized that running away wasn't the answer. I know that Satan is everywhere, and he is always looking for an opportunity to put sinful things into the minds of people who don't really know God. So I chose to stay. Maybe God could use me to help my friends see God's love for them. And as I get older, I'm realizing these issues are not only at school, but in everyday life. We are truly living in the last days before God comes again. And if you watch the news or read about it, you'd probably agree there is a lot of pain and suffering in the world we live in right now, and that there's still a lot of work we need to do. As a teen, I believe all these encounters in life where God has helped me are powerful lessons to share with other people. I also believe that God wants me to bring the message to the friends and people I meet along my journey through life. And I find peace in knowing that God will always be with me when I need help. Let me leave you with this scripture. Please turn to Psalms 9, 9 and 10. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed and a stronghold in time of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you.
Hello, good morning. This is my encounter with God and an answer to prayer. First off, I want to say I am honored to be up here, and I give it all to Jesus. When I was a child, I never read the Bible or anything like that. It was after my great-grandmother died. I started wondering, what if there is more to life than the here and now? I asked my grandmother for a Bible. I began reading it, but I did not really understand much. One day, my Aunt Sandy told me about a Baptist preacher on TV named Charles Stanley. I don't know if you guys know him, but... I heard the gospel for the first time. I cried and gave my heart to Jesus. I was about 25 years old at the time. Years went by and I kind of drifted from the Lord for a while, but I am back with him now. My grandmother died 5 years ago. And I was always lived with her all my life. So you can understand how saddened I was to lose her. I had to move into my own apartment, which was scary. When you depend on someone else all your life and then you all of a sudden move in to your own, to become more independent and more trusting on the Lord. I never gave up hope on Jesus. I was so sad I was praying that I could find a church to go to. And then one day, there was a knock on my door. They said they were students that come to my door asking for a $7 donation, which I later learned were the literature evangelists. I didn't know that until I came into the church. They asked me if I wanted to buy some books. I said no, because at the time I wasn't really a reader. But I did buy the Final Events DVD. And then they asked me if I wanted Bible studies, and I thought, wow, this would be cool. So I did that. And then I kind of forgot about them coming to the door for a while, you know, because it was like a couple weeks later. And then our other pastor, Pastor Billy Gager, came to my door late one night. I had no idea. Wait a minute. I had no idea who he was, but it was for my answer to prayer. He visited with me and asked me if I wanted to come to church. And he gave me Bible studies, and we became best friends. One night I went to sleep. I had a dream from the Lord. I dreamed I was being baptized. I went under the water in the dream, but never came up in the dream. I woke up in tears. Then felt compelled to be baptized ever since then. The lessons went on from the Bible studies, and then we had an evangelistic series. I asked Billy if I could be baptized. He said yes. That was a real answer to prayer. I was baptized October 2008. I had one encounter with God that will last a lifetime and beyond to eternity. And could you turn to Luke 36:50? What was that? I think it's Luke 36:50. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, boy. I'll have to find it here. There is no 36:50, right? Oh, boy. I messed up, didn't I? I put the wrong verse number down. I'll see if I can find it here. Oh, I found it. I found it. It's Luke 7:36. Okay. This is my favorite story in the Bible. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And that makes me think of me. I was so weeped out to God in this church when I got baptized. I was so sad for my sins, but happy to be with Jesus. And I'll go on to the story. And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to him, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he asked, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing in which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Our God is a forgiving God. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, and I love Jesus with all my heart. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this that even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Our God is a forgiving God, and I love him with all my heart. Praise God.
The mature person has to have a little help up the steps. whenever I told my story to the pastor, little did I know that he was going to ask me to tell it to all of you. So I am not a public speaker. I asked to have the pulpit so I could hold on, and when my knees got shaky, and especially the stool, in case I had to, if I got too shaky, I could sit down. So here's my story. I want to first read Colossians 3:2. It says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." Then I looked up the word encounter, and the definition: to meet in conflict, face in battle. And I feel like my story, it was more God's encounter with me than my encounter with him. First, I'd like to tell you that in April 16th, 1949, my husband was baptized in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. On April the 17th, 1949, we were married. After a brief honeymoon to Oregon, he informed me that he wasn't going to church with me anymore. So that was very disappointing to me. I felt very betrayed. He knew that I wouldn't marry him unless he was a Seventh-day Adventist, and so that was his reason for being baptized. Fast forward to 1952. Finley got a job, and my husband Finley, those of you who don't know his name, most of you here do, got a job in Madeira at a small radar base that was linked to Castle Air Force Base. And so we moved to Madeira. We bought our first house, and that was so exciting. We paid $9,500 for our first home. It had beautiful hardwood floors, two bedrooms, one bath, one car garage. Of course, most of us only had one car in those days, not three or four. During those years, I had drifted away from church, but when our daughter Nancy was about 3 years old, I decided that I wanted her to start going to Sabbath school and learning about Jesus. So we found the Madeira Church and started going to Sabbath school each week. However, we didn't stay for church, but at least it was a start. We'd made friends there, and we liked Madeira, and I was happy. I got a part-time job working for a man who had three drive-ins. One was a Snow White drive-in and two Busy Boy drive-ins. We had a little distribution company that we sent the supplies to each drive-in as they were needed. And I had to keep a perpetual inventory. I didn't really know what that was, but I found out real quick. Also, I had to count the money. So on my first day, on a Monday, I had to count money for three drive-ins for the 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I'd worked as a bookkeeper in a bank, but I had never counted coin or wrapped coin. And so this was quite an experience. I mean, the first day, it took me probably all day to count all the money, learn how to put it in the little wrappers, and reconcile it all. So that was interesting. After a while, I got pretty good at it. One of my friends from La Sierra moved to Madeira, and she was quite musical. So she, first I'm going to tell you about, she got started as leadership in the primary division of Sabbath school and asked me to help her. So by this time, Nancy was in primary, and so I agreed. Then the pastor's wife found out that I sang alto and asked me to sing in a mixed quartet. And of course, I gladly agreed. I always enjoy singing, as most of you know. Then my friend Barbara consented to direct a choir if there was enough interest, so I joined the choir. Things were going well, and I was making some friends in the church. My Bible study and prayer life was practically nil. My boss's dad had started the franchise of the Snow White Drive-Ins. There was one here in Merced out on Yosemite Parkway, close to 21st Street. I'm sure you've gone by it, but it's not a Snow White anymore. Each drive-in sent, or he asked us to take over the bookkeeping that was involved. Each drive-in would send in a monthly report of their sales, and then we would figure the franchise fee. My boss sold the two Busy Boy drive-ins, and so our main thing was to keep up with this. Well, my boss's wife decided to start another franchise. And this was a buffet restaurant similar to the Hometown Buffet, but on a smaller scale. I was also getting information from them each month and saw the big bucks that were being made. One was in Ukiah. That was where all the training was. There was also one in here in Merced close to the overpass. Well, and I decided I wanted some of that big money too, so I asked my boss about buying into one of the franchises that was scheduled to be built. He said, fine, but he'd like to go in partnership with us. So he wanted to be a 60% partner, and we were 40. Nancy was attending Fresno Academy at the time, and the Raybar base had become obsolete and had closed down. Finley, fortunately, was able to get a job at Castle, and he was traveling back and forth. So I talked him into taking a leave of absence, and he would take over the kitchen while I took over the hostess and care of the front. We arranged for Nancy to stay with my mom and dad, who lived in Fresno. We sold our house and took off to Mountain View to make our fortune. The problem I recognized later that I didn't ask God if this is the path that I should be taking. As I said before, I really didn't have that kind of a relationship with him. I had told myself I would attend the Adventist Church in Mountain View and each week, but by Sabbath morning, I was tired. I didn't know anyone. I decided that I would just hang out at the house. And we closed from 2 till 4 to get ready for the evening meal. So at 2, I would go down and have lunch with Finley and the waitresses, and then go to work after sundown. I was keeping the Sabbath, right? After a while, Finley got tired of working 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hours a day. He decided he wanted to come back to Castle, where he had 5 8-hour days, and he could go home and not have to worry about work. Well, I wasn't too happy about that, but I didn't have a choice. I had to move to Merced. We hired a manager and moved here. It was January and gloomy, and I didn't want to be in Merced. I remember one day I went to the mall. Well, I'm not sure it was the mall. It was the main shopping center was Westgate, we called it. It was down on R Street. There was a Newberry's and Gottschalk's was there. Then I remember downtown was Penny's and Montgomery and Ward's, and that was our shopping area. Well, in Merced, people knew me. I could go into the store and they'd recognize me by name, and I went down to the shopping area. No one knew me, and I didn't know anyone, and I was just pouted. So when I came home that day, As I was coming up to my house, I saw Elder McPherson. And by the way, back in those days, we called the pastor Elder. Elder McPherson was walking to my door. I did not want to talk to Elder McPherson, so I just kept on driving. I didn't want to feel good, and I didn't want to be prayed for. So I applied for a job. At that time, it was named Cleveland Outdoor Advertising. I got the job. The owner was a wonderful man, and we purchased a house, and things were looking up. Then the restaurant went belly up. Several other of the Fjords were also having problems. I thought that since our partner was the son of the franchisor, he would surely make sure that the business succeeded. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. In fact, we ended up having to pay some of the bills that he should have paid half of, and he skipped out on us. The business closed, and we lost a lot of money. I think it was around $40,000, and so that was a lot of money, and even more so back then. So I don't know what happened to that fortune. Our fortune went down the drain. This was tough to deal with, but I started going to church, and soon after we had a different pastor, Elder Matar. His wife was a real musical person, and soon she had me singing in the ladies' quartet. I was finally looking to God for guidance in my life. Also, Pastor Matar started visiting Finley. He would be at our house every Tuesday evening at 4:30. That's when Finley got off work, and they would spend about an hour out in the garage just talking. My job was going well. The business purchased billboards in Fresno and Bakersfield. So we set up an office in each of those towns. And because we still did the accounting in Merced, we hired two more women to work in the office. And by the way, I forget, back when I was working for the Snow White Drive-In, my boss decided that he wanted me to start keeping general ledger. Well, I'd only had a minimum amount of bookkeeping training, so he said I could do it, so I guess I can. So I remember the first month that I did the general ledger, it took me a whole month to reconcile it. But at least I got it reconciled before the next month came along. So anyway, Finley was a homebody, and I liked to travel and eat in nice restaurants and so forth. So it worked out fine for us because I had to go to Bakersfield often and later added a partnership in Chico, a billboard company in the Dalles, Oregon, and in Casper, Wyoming. That gave me a lot of opportunity to travel and stay in four-star hotels and to eat in nice restaurants. I did most of my long-distance travel on Amtrak because I was afraid to fly. I was keeping general ledgers that time, five general ledgers, by hand. The company furnished me a car and many other perks. In 1973, Finley came back into the church on profession of faith, and I knew that God was surely leading. We were supposed to be in Merced. Finley was head deacon, and I was asked to be the treasurer, and I have been a treasurer here for 40 years, or almost 40 years. I was also privileged to be on the building committee for our beautiful church, but I want you to know that I did not vote for the rust-colored pews and carpet. I voted for green. While I worked for Meadow Pacific, the company had changed the name, I learned how to use the computer. I remember our first computer was an Apple black and white monitor, and it cost $6,000. My boss and I were dragging our feet on this because we like to just flip the page and see somebody's balance and so forth, but we decided that we had to change with the times. When the corporate office moved to Sebastopol, I was allowed to set the computer up in my home, and we used two-day UPS to send work back and forth. When I retired at age 65, Joe, my boss, said that he would give me a severance pay for 5 years. Well, it's now been 17 years. That means I'm telling you how old I am. And I'm still receiving a check each month. I worked for this generous man for nearly 30 years. I'm so glad that, so thankful that God didn't give up on me. I feel that God held my hand and guided me where I should go. I didn't want to come, but he intervened because I was gradually moving away from him. He brought me here where he knew I should be. I say he drugged me while I was kicking and screaming. I have made so many friends here and feel so loved. Since I've been in Merced, my walk with God has grown every day. I lean on him for my strength and trust him to be by my side every day. I praise him for guiding my life, for being there when my husband died, for being there when I was diagnosed with cancer. Whatever happens in my future, I can be sure he was with me and has his arms around me. In closing, I want to read a paragraph from my daily devotional written by Morris Vinden. All our struggles with sin and temptation and falling and failing are because we are living a life independent of the Lord Jesus and trying to meet the enemy with our own power. It cannot be done, and it is only as we realize this and place ourselves day by day under God's control that his Spirit can lead us to the point of depending upon his power all the time. I would like for you to turn to page, we're going to sing Have Thine Own Way, Lord, page 567. We'll be singing a cappella, and let's sing verses 1 and 4. And sing parts if you can. This is such a beautiful song.
Have thine own way, thou art the potter, I am the clay, mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way, hold our my being.
Bow our heads for our closing prayer. Dear Father, thank you so much for the gift that Monica, Israel, and Caroline shared with us, their encounters with you. It's beautiful to see you working in these lives and to realize that you're working just as actively in ours. Lord, help us to walk out through this church doors and into our week looking for our encounters with you. Shake us if you have to, in order for us to be aware that our Lord is walking beside us each and every day, every step of the way. And for this we thank you. Amen.